Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Okay, so if you're a bit confused about Boston's Olympic bid, you're not alone. So were we, especially after this happened yesterday.
The USOC is going through a similar vetting process to ensure that Boston's the right city. So there's no guarantee that Boston will be the city in September.
What? That was Angela Ruggiero speaking before Boston City Councilors.
Now, Ruggiero is a board member of both the U.S. Olympic Committee and the International Olympic Committee, which is why she took some people by surprise with what she said yesterday. Because back in January, didn't the USOC pick Boston to be America's Olympic bid?
Answer? Sort of. Turns out the USOC has until September 15th to submit its formal nomination of Boston as the nation's host city. So apparently nothing's official yet.
It all sort of feels like that stage of a presidential race when candidates, who aren't yet officially candidates, announce that they're going to form an exploratory committee about whether they will be candidates.
Exactly. So, as we said, it's confusing. To get things straight, we decided to reach out to David Walachinsky. He's president of the International Society of Olympic Historians, and he gave us a little selections process 101.
Technically speaking, a nation doesn't have to make its proposal until September about what city it's chosen. It's very rare to back off of a city, and it was actually considered to kind of unusual that the United States Olympic Committee made such an early announcement.
Is it similarly unusual that someone from the USOC board would say there's no guarantee that Boston will be the city in September, or has there been similar uncertainties expressed about other cities in the past?
No, we haven't had a situation like that in the past. There was the case where Denver was actually given the Winter Olympics and voted it down because they didn't want to spend money, and the International Olympic Committee had to switch to Innsbruck, Austria instead. That was highly unusual, but I guess that's the closest precedent.
That's the closest precedent. Okay, and that was back in for the 1976 Winter Games. Okay, so it's been quite some time then since there's been a lot of this much uncertainty around a possible American bid. What could happen between now and that September 15th deadline?
The United States Olympic Committee has the right to say, okay, Boston, you didn't really get it together, and so we're going to submit a different city instead. That would be quite awkward from the point of view of the United States Olympic Committee. It would look like incompetence, like they jumped the gun and didn't really look carefully at, you know, who was in charge of the Boston bid. So it's unlikely that the USOC would withdraw Boston, but not impossible.
Wow. Okay. I mean, all of this is coming as we're hearing officials in Los Angeles say, hey, they're ready to step in if Boston's bid fails. I mean, the USOC has said it's not speaking with any other cities about a possible backup bid, but, I mean, could it switch to L.A.?
I suppose the United States Olympic Committee could switch to Los Angeles, but it would just look bad from the point of view of the USOC that they had stumbled, that they had made a bad decision. Again, it's not impossible, but it wouldn't look good.
So I guess the USOC then is carefully looking at Boston right now as a host city. What kind of things are they seeking to gauge? Public support, feasibility, planning? What's the most important thing in the eyes of the USOC for Boston to get right now?
Well, I would say, first of all, it's to look at the situation not first from the United States point of view of the United States Olympic Committee, but from the point of view of the International Olympic Committee and how the USOC presents itself. Because right now there's pretty warm feelings between the International Olympic Committee, the IOC, and the United States. There's very good feelings about a couple of the previous Olympics that have been held in the United States. The 1984 Los Angeles Olympics went very well and also provided a financial model that in many ways financially saved the Olympic movement. The 2002 Winter Games in Salt Lake City, also very smooth, made the IOC members happy. On the other hand, the 1996 Atlanta Games were a disaster from an organizational point of view, and I'm sorry to say became the model about how you don't organize an Olympics. Again, from the point of view of the IOC members who will be voting, one of the things that was off-putting about Atlanta, other than just being poorly organized, was that it was a very insular leadership that didn't really understand the international context, didn't want to hear advice from anybody, was not well organized. And I think that there might be some worry that that's what we've seen with the Boston bid, that this is not really a well-prepared bid. And that would be something that IOC members would not be too happy about. I would emphasize that this is not a popular election. There are 100 people who are going to vote on this. And so what you're looking for is what these 100 people use to make their decisions.
Okay, so it's not a popular election. But on the other hand, Boston 2024 organizers are now pushing for a referendum, a popular referendum in Massachusetts on whether or not the city should host the Olympics. And they're looking to for that referendum to be held in November of 2016, which is, of course, after this September deadline. I mean, so how could that affect the bid?
Well, I would say that that's not going to impress the United States Olympic Committee to have their election after they've already made their decision that Boston would be the city. That election would only be useful toward pitching Boston, once it's chosen, pitching it against the other cities from around the world that are bidding.
Okay, so just to step back here to be sure that we're all clear now on what's going on. When the USOC said it nominated Boston in January, that was sort of an informal nomination that then could possibly become formal on September 15th. That's the USOC's deadline. And then from there, in January 2016, cities submit their application files and guaranteed letters. And in spring of 2016, the IOC selects candidate cities. That's sort of the timeline we're looking at.
That's it, exactly. They do a short list.
So, David Walachinsky, you're the president of the International Society of Olympic Historians. So you've got a lot of perspective on this. What do you make of Boston's prospects now?
I think that Boston's prospects are weak. First of all, you have Paris bidding. And Paris has so much going for it. For one thing, it would be the 100th anniversary of the last time that Paris was hosting the Olympics. Second, they're ready now. There's not a lot of complications. They have the venues, they have the hotels, they have the infrastructure, they have great food. Sorry, it's a really strong bid. Then you have a backup, which is Rome, which is also a popular city. Frankly, the one big selling point that Boston has going for it is time zone. NBC is very strong in the Olympic movement, and Boston's in the right time zone. So if there's voting members who really don't want to vote for a European city and think that it's going to bring a lot of, they want to bring a lot of money to the Olympic movement, then they might go with Boston. I would make one recommendation to the Boston organizers. The very first winner of the modern Olympics, James Connolly, was from Boston. He should be Boston's logo because it's a reminder that Boston isn't just some second-tier city, that it has a long Olympic history and a long commitment to the Olympics. And I think that the Boston organizers should exploit that long history.
Well, David Walachinsky is president of the International Society of Olympic Historians. Thank you so much for giving us this primer on the selection process and for setting us all straight here. It's much appreciated.
Thank you.
Stay with us. Coming up, the Northampton lawyer who's been pushing to legalize recreational pot in Massachusetts for the past 3.5 decades. I'm Anthony Brooks.
I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.